Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm Ateria, your host, and today I'm so excited that there's been so much email coming in from my radio show that I really wanted to honor the listeners. And one of my listeners had written and asked if we would not cover a show about healing, in particular metaphysical healing. So I would love to bring up that subject today. Although I am not an authority, I do not consider myself an intuitive healer, nor a medical intuitive, but I would love to cover some of the aspects of metaphysical healing. And also, hopefully in the future shows, we're going to bring some people who do have specialty backgrounds in those particular kinds of healings. So what they asked was, what they would like to know more about, to have clarity about healing, is if you're ever done. It seems like this person said that they've been to a lot of healers, and every time they go to a healer, then they have worked with a variety of healers and healing modalities for a number of years, and it just seems like the cycle never ends, that they keep going, and they think they've worked on their stuff, and they think they've done all the release things, and they've done the Reiki, the Rolfing, and all these levels of different kinds of modalities, and yet there's always something more. Well, from my 25 years of doing metaphysical work, I believe we are always constantly working on those layers that come. When we come into this place, in this physical beingness, you know, pretend you're on the other side and you're in the cosmic office there with God, Goddess, all that is, insert your favorite deity, and your angels, and you're having a little talk about, okay, I'm going to go to Earth and I'm going to live in a human form, and I'm going to decide what I'm going to take on. You know, what am I going to take on emotionally? What am I going to take on spiritually? You know, who am I going to go with and who am I going to encounter there? And what's in my cosmic list? What is in my Akashic records that I need to deal with or clean up from other past lives? And if you don't believe in reincarnation, we certainly have to know that there are other dimensions and other places, and we know that the consciousness continues after the change we call death for many reasons. We know that natural law is energy cannot be destroyed, it can only change forms. So it's actually been proven at the moment of death by some scientific studies back east in a university, and I'm sure you could find it out on the net which universities, but I saw it on a documentary on TV not long ago, that they had actually weighed people, their physical body, at the moment of death, and there's a 6 to 8 ounce difference at the moment of death that scientists and doctors cannot account for. It's not just the breath leaving the body or fluids leaving the body, but they cannot explain that 6 to 8 ounce difference. So, you know, my theory is that might be about, you know, the weight of our cosmic soul, or it could be the weight of our etheric body pulling away from our physical body. But consciousness is expanded and lives on. So when you're in that cosmic office with God thinking about what you're going to take on in this lifetime, and in your humanness, you make choices. I believe that. And so sometimes you come in with things, illnesses and things at cellular and spiritual levels that we start working on. And one of the people that's known for a lot of this work that is very, very well documented would be Edgar Cayce. He was called the Sleeping Prophet, and he was born from 1877 and passed in 1945. He was known for going into a deep trance sleep, and he would say, we have the body here, and he would give a diagnosis, and he would talk about, often describe, you know, the wallpaper in the room where the person was, and it could be, he was actually in Virginia Beach in later years, but he also was born in Kentucky. So he was a very religious man, but so when his gift started developing, he was very confused about it. But he would go into these sleeping trances, and he would describe the person's health issue. Now, he had no medical education or background. He would describe what was going on, what organs or problems would cause it. He would also start talking about the emotional problem that came in, or in some cases he would talk about this was a karmic problem, something from a past life. He was very, very, did thousands and thousands of readings. He's very well documented. His actually collection of works of all his readings, most of his readings were actually transcribed, written. And so the ARE, Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, has the library, the original documents of this. They also, I believe, have it on some of this work on CD now. But he would go into these trance and he would tell all of these things. And then at the end of it, he would start prescribing, and sometimes it was medical prescriptions, sometimes it was osteopathic treatments, sometimes it was down-home old folk remedies that had been around forever and ever. And so he cured thousands of people, and in fact today some universities are doing studies. One of the things he prescribed often was castor oil packs, and they have actually started at the university back east, and I think it's the University of Michigan, was doing a study on some of his remedies just to see if they had any effect. The study is not completed, so I don't think there's any documentation out there yet. So he has been well researched in the years since he's passed, and so it's really interesting. He really was into body-mind medicine long before it became a coined phrase today in our New Age movement. And so this is an incredible example of a man really literally almost in the horse and buggy era, and his impact on medicine. He also prescribed often osteopathic adjustments. And so the ARE today has thousands of people who are still flocking to the ARE, still reading about Edgar Cayce and his work. And you can look into more information about Edgar Cayce on www.edgarcayce.org. Cayce was a well-known healer, and he was also just an amazing person because he really was a very simple, quiet man, never was ostentatious about his gift, and really actually fought inner demons with himself about this gift. And so it's interesting that I believe to look at, you know, this person who really talked about the whole mind-body and past life connection to our healing. And so when this listener wrote in to me and wanted to know, like, okay, I was told about having the symbology of the onion, and that I believe that, you know, sometimes we peel layers and layers off, and I do believe from my work that it is sort of that constant layer, and sometimes, you know, we get so frustrated with peeling those layers, but we are like an onion in that often, you know, almost everything when you start studying healing, spiritual healing, vibrational healing, physical hands-on healing, almost all the forms of healing, you realize that it is manifested in our energetic fields first. In other words, it's a thought. It's a creation outside of ourselves in the etheric. And then slowly, you know, it comes into the body. We start owning it in some way. A great example of that is, have you ever felt bad and not felt very good, and then all of a sudden you go, God, I really don't feel good. Man, I'm really not feeling, I think I'm catching a cold. And pretty soon, by the end of the day, you've really caught the cold because you've owned it and dragged it into your energetic field, and pretty soon you're sick. You know? My aunt used to say, you know, why do you always catch that cold? Why don't you let that cold run by? And I didn't realize how probably accurate she was, that if I had not owned that and convinced myself to own the illness, perhaps I would not have been sick. And because the mind plays an incredible role in our life. And when we look at medical miracles today, often people will say, you know, why does one group of patients get better and another not? Doctors, in fact, Deepak Chopra is amazing about this. He talks about how the mind affects that, and a great example of that is Deepak Chopra wrote a book called Quantum Healing, and he talks about how, as a young doctor, he learned the impact of his opinion on patients. And how he had to be careful what he said. He had a man come into his office, and the man felt fine. He just came in for his, like, annual checkup, and Deepak Chopra found that he had a really bad heart condition, and he said to Mr. Smith, I don't know even how you walked into here. You should have had a major heart attack. At any time, the man instantly started manifesting symptoms of a heart attack, and Deepak was just, oh, my gosh, shocked and stunned. And he, you know, really believed that had he not said that, the person probably would not have gone into this massive thing. And anyone who has had a life-threatening diagnosis, for instance, Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, for those of you who know that she runs my website and does a lot of my bookings, was diagnosed a few years ago with cancer. And one of the things that I really noticed is that she really, when the doctor started telling her, you know, what was going to go down, she really entered that tunnel of terror. And often when we're giving diagnosis, you know, because of the fear attached to whatever your diagnosis, in particular cancer, you go down the tunnel of terror and your mind starts playing all the what ifs. It doesn't go to the, you know, I could be healed of this. It goes to, uh-oh, the outcome is usually death. And so we see the effect of how we use language, how we use thought forms to affect us physically. And so by the very suggestion that you're not well, and every day that we are telling ourselves how we are physically and how we are in creating even. And I really think, you know, by this example of Deepak Chopra, it really is important to realize how much and why hypnosis works. Hypnosis is something that's used for treatment, which is I consider also probably a metaphysical or form of healing, because it's certainly not recognized by most mainstream doctors. But hypnosis has been around for a long time. It was partly created by mesmerism in the 1800s, and the effect of hypnosis is used by using your mind and subconsciously and consciously affecting your mind. And so we really get by seeing how hypnosis works on people for addictions and to quit smoking and lose weight and all these things and many, many other things to help get rid of fears and even past life regressions that are now being used. We know that that is another form of how our conscious and unconscious mind affects our physical beingness and our illnesses. And so we know that thoughts are things, as they say, on angel wings, and they affect us. So all of these interesting metaphysical and spiritual types of healings really are part of that layering of the onion. So we believe spiritually that part of this is created outside of us, and then we start owning the illness and we manifest it. I also think sometimes things are karmic. I also think sometimes things, as I've researched things, that sometimes when we say that, oh, that is runs in our family, for example, high blood pressure runs in my family, they say. But I don't know that it's so much that it runs in my family genetically, or does it run in my family because of my parents' diet, how they handle stress? Is it maybe not more an attitude, a taught-learned thing? I think that's a fascinating thing to look at. Because when I was looking at high blood pressure in particular for me, I realized, you know, I looked at how my mom handled things, those emotional roller coaster things that happen in all families, and I really found more that I think it was not so genetic as learned action and reaction. And sometimes we have to look at how we do all that. There's another wonderful healer I'd like to talk a few minutes about that I read about and have looked into some things. A little later than Casey, I was reading about a man called Harry Edwards. He was born in 1893 and passed in 1976. He's a well-known British healer. He actually was known for beginning his healing work in 1935, and it was a energetic work, like a hands-on healing, where he believed he used energy. He was a spiritualist, and he ran energy. He also did absent healing, which means you don't have to be in the room or in the place. You can send it long distance, just like radio waves travel, well, healing waves travel. He did incredible work. He is known for curing about 10,000 people that have been documented. He is quite a place in England that is still taking care of his work, and you can go on by looking up Harry Edwards on the internet to find out more about that. But he was known for using energetic healing, energy healing. And so things are vibration. We know that our body even is part vibration, and that what he did is he called directly on God and healing people who had passed, like doctors and healing masters, and use that energy to flow through him to heal people on a vibrational level, which then the body accepted and healed on a physical level. He would also prescribe some things. He would talk about moving muscles or teaching the muscles to remember and be healed if they had a muscle issue. So there was an aspect of healing that he used, not just vibrationally, but also things that went with that, which I believe he intuited from working with spirit. So the next thing I want to talk about is also, in the last few years, we've heard a lot about medical intuitives. One of the most well-known is Carolyn Mace. I've heard it pronounced both ways. And she is known, really, for very accurate medical intuitive, and who can see into, she can actually see in the body and sense it, see illnesses. And she sees physical illnesses as well as mental issues. And she is setting, she actually works with diagnosing and things, and works on seeing into the body, and worked with several physicians, and has been very good at helping work with and diagnose, has a form of diagnosis. And I can remember when I was a kid and used to watch Outer Limits, that there was a man who had X-ray eyes and would see into the body and did diagnosis, and it was a big, you know, sort of sci-fi thing, and I was fascinated by it. And, you know, I think there are so many things that we don't know enough about, and Carolyn Mace really has quite a talent and gift for this. She also has begun teaching other people to use it and how to develop it. She's written some wonderful books, The Anatomy of the Spirit, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can, and also she's also written on sacred contracts. And this is an interesting aspect, and I do think we have contracts with people sometimes. I think that really sometimes we agree to come into people's lives to either help them teach us things, or sometimes to help them make a decision. And so sometimes the karma is not bad karma, it's just karma to help people make choices. You can check out more information on Carolyn Mace by going to www.mysss.com. Now, when I read this email from Julia, I really thought, you know, how many times I myself have asked Spirit, got intuitive guidance from my guides about things, and still have things happen. A few years ago, I actually really got desperately ill. I had a bronchial issue, and actually I had to go to an emergency room, and I was out of state at the time, and I thought, oh my God, what is this about? You know, it's very frightening not to be able to breathe and go through the whole experience, and then, you know, I'm in the ambulance and I'm talking to Dom, and the guys go, uh-oh, she's starting to hallucinate, because I was talking out loud. I forgot that it wasn't a normal thing, because it's a normal thing for me, and I thought, oh my God, I better shut up here, you know, or they'll have me in the white coat room instead of in the emergency room for breathing. But it was very interesting to me to learn that whole experience, because in the moment I was frightened like everyone gets, and I was questioning spirit. I go, okay, you know, I'm not like in this cosmic 2x4. What do I manifest this for? But out of that became many, many things. Things that would, if I had not had that cosmic 2x4 and had that experience, I probably would not have met the people I met, you know, the synchronicities that happened. I was back in Virginia with my niece and taken this hospital. What would be the odds that out of all the hospitals you could be taken to, that you wind up in a hospital where the doctor comes in and my niece goes, I think I babysitted your kids 10 years ago. And it turned out she had babysitted his kids. They had a great conversation to each other. And because of that, I'm sure I got really great care. But the synchronicities of how people put you in particular spots, these illnesses sometimes aren't about getting you frightened and teaching you lessons. Sometimes it's to expand your consciousness and change it, our life changing. We go in different directions sometimes because of the cosmic 2x4. And although I think it's very frustrating when we have the layers, we think we've dealt with one thing and that illness or that part of our healing is over. For example, sometimes the things that we bring in to our life are issues that we've learned from our parents, And I'm not saying everybody has bad parent issues. I'm not Freud. But I do think sometimes we learn things, or we have parents who have maybe have addictions or have some problems, to learn and make different choices. So sometimes the layers we're peeling are things we're choosing to clean out of our cosmic garage because they are things that we experienced or choose to take on overly emotionally from our childhood. So sometimes the layers seem, you know, are from this moment or of this part of our life. And so we can choose, you know, if we were, grew up with parents who had addictions, we might choose not to have the addiction. We might choose to overcome the addiction but not the personality. So the layer in there might be, I didn't become an alcoholic, but I still have an alcoholic personality. And so I have to look at those layers of what that childhood issue gave me and what I learned from it. I think there's so many wonderful forms of metaphysical healing. I could do probably 30 shows on just healing. I'm going to talk about for a minute about another form of healing that I just actually recently experienced and I thought was really quite fascinating, and that is called reconnective energy. Eric Pearl is a chiropractor who one day began having an experience of a new kind of energy, of something going on when he was working on his patients that he didn't really quite understand. And to be truthful, today he still doesn't know what it is. He said, I don't really know what it is, and I don't know really a lot of things about it, but this is what I do know about it. He's one of the most honest practitioners I've ever heard. In other words, he's honest about knowing, this is what I've seen and this is what it does, but I really still don't know how it does it, why it does it, and why it works. And it's the use of an energy, and it's different than Reiki, but it is a unique energy. And most of the time when you're doing energy work, the further you move away from your client, the weaker it gets. But this particular energy, it seems like the further you go away from your client, the stronger it gets. It's quite amazing energy. It's very, very different than Reiki. And the energy really does seem to have a powerful effect on the physical as well as emotional levels of your physical beingness. He wrote a book, and it's called The Reconnective Energy, and you can also check this out on the web by going to the Reconnective Energy. There are so many kinds, you know, of healing modalities that should be covered, and so please, I hope you'll bear with me that I can't cover all of them, that I'm just actually talking about the tip of the iceberg to help, you know, Julia out there probably have more questions instead of answers. I think sometimes when we start getting questions and answering them, we get more questions, which I love, because then we go in search of and we learn more. It expands who we are, and it's wonderful. As to the question, are we done? I can't answer that, really, truly. I feel that we are doing, when we're doing Earth, we keep peeling the layers, and we also, I really believe, that we keep putting more things on our plate. I really think that, like when we were kids, you know, we couldn't have dessert till we took and ate the carrots and peas. And slowly, as we take things off our cosmic plate and deal with perhaps things we brought in from past lives, like Edgar Cayce sometimes would talk about a person having, you know, an injury to an arm or leg where they had been wounded and didn't let go of that when they left the body in the previous life. So sometimes we're letting go of karmic things. Sometimes we're having to look at things that happened to us in our childhood. We come in with stuff from all over, past life karma. Sometimes it's just things that we're choosing to help somebody else. You know, Neil Donald Walsh wrote a wonderful children's book called Little Soul in the Sun, and it's again by Neil Donald Walsh. And when I read that, it was like the light bulb went on. I had an aha moment. And that was that sometimes it's not about us, even though in the moment we think it's about us because we're not having a good time. But I really think sometimes when we come in, for example, sometimes when I see domestic violence, sometimes I think women or men, whoever is experiencing the domestic violence, come in to help, you know, to give that soul an opportunity to make a different choice. Instead of repeating perhaps their domestic violence issue, sometimes I think the person comes in and say, you know, you can make a different choice. Now, that doesn't mean they always do, and it doesn't mean we always get it right. But sometimes we come in and that we are the soul saying, you know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do something wrong so you can learn to forgive me. Whatever the issue is, sometimes we're being the good guy here and not just, you know, doing karma again. So it's not always a repeat scenario. And I think some people get caught up in there's only bad karma. Well, sometimes there's good karma. And so our soul evolves and learns through all this, and each lesson expands us. And our relationships, our emotions, we expand, we have impact, and we start realizing that the soul is learning, growing, and becoming the more. Sometimes we need healing after we have reacted. For reaction, there is a reaction. And sometimes we don't always choose the right reaction. And so sometimes we have to start looking at how are we interacting? Because I believe from my work after all these years that we truly are co-creators. But I don't know about you. Some days I'm on autopilot. You know, it's a lot of work being metaphysical, because when we become metaphysical, when we become spiritual, we own that we are responsible for our happiness or unhappiness. We start realizing it, you know, our choices affect us. But if you know, most of us didn't come in totally aware and awakened, and we had parents who weren't. And so we learn certain things. So it's easy to go on autopilot and say, our parents did it, my teacher did it, my third grade teacher, my friends. All these things that affect us, we are affected by so many things. So we have to realize that, you know, for every action there is a reaction, and so we have to pay attention to our conscious choices. And I know some days I just like that autopilot. I don't want to have to be responsible. I want to say, wah, 1-800-WAH, because I don't want to be responsible. I'm human. And then later I'm going, oh, God, why did I do that? I wish I hadn't done that. And then I get, you know, back on my metaphysical soapbox, and I behave myself for a while. So one of my favorite books when I'm in healing, and I absolutely call this the Little Blue Bible, is the Little Blue Book, Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. It's been out for a very long time. It's probably, to me, one of the most accurate books I've ever read on emotional and physical illnesses. It lists the physical illness, and then it lists the emotional reason for it.
Tara, are you taking calls?
I will.
I'll put one on.
Okay.
It'll take me about 5 seconds.
Okay. And so in this book, it lists the physical illness, it lists the emotional reason for it, and then it lists the affirmation to start healing that. It's an amazing, amazing book. So, do you have a caller?
Yes. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hi. Who are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. My name is Steve Richmond.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How's it up there?
Oh, it's great today. So what's your question? What can I do for you?
Well, I have a question. You know, I know that you're a medium, but I wanted to know, since the topic is healing, I wanted to know what, if you are able to sense from individuals kind of imbalanced auras or imbalanced energies, and then from that, or maybe in consultation with your guides, information that will help an individual to work through some of the blockages that are that you see around that person, that they might the energies that might be stuck.
Absolutely. I really don't consider myself a medical intuitive, because I believe they go organ by organ, you know.
Okay.
For me, I actually sense energy. When I was a young child, my guide, Dom, his actual name is Don Salas, but I couldn't say that when I was a kid, so I call him Don, used to play what I thought was a game, and he'd say, what color is that person? Well, when you're small, you know about 5 colors, so I started carrying my Koran box around.
Right.
And I would show what color it was, and then he'd say, how are you going to fix that? And he taught me eventually, because when he said emotional, it didn't mean anything to me, so he'd go, you'd cry or laugh or whatever.
Right.
I got that there was an emotion to it. So he would ask me if it's emotional, and then he'd ask me if it was physical. And over time, I learned for this game what I could do to change it. How could I help this person change? And I have to tell you, my mother thought it was very weird that I would, like, reach in my crayon box and go up to her friends and start coloring in front of them. I would try and add the color that they needed to change.
Oh, that's interesting.
And my mom, I'm sure, like, you know, she would, you just not do that, you know? Could you just be normal, whatever normal was I was looking for? So later, as my work developed, I see energy. I'll see what colors, or if the color of the body is gray, I will ask the person if they're on medication. If they are, I ask Spirit to remove that, and then I look at the energy field. And then I will see different things that are in there. You know, I see different colors for certain kinds of illnesses, or I'll see a part of the body highlighted. Like often I'll say something's going on with the blood system, because I'll see the blue, you know, on the chart you'll see the blood's blue on a physical chart. So that's the way it works for me. And then what I ask then is their higher self and their angels, guides, and masters, what part do we need to do with this? What part is emotional? And they'll give me usually a percentage. And what part is physical? And how, you know, how far in this are they? Can they turn this around? And then ask if there's a time period. So it's another layer of effect to the answer of that.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, now in terms of when you're with your guides and the angels, are they able to rebalance or some would call reconnect the individual up to their higher self to release some of that blockages, or is it simply the individual has to do it themselves?
It's twofold, because usually in the reading people get released by the sheer fact of the reading, and it's not me. I wish I could claim that as I'm that good, huh? It's not. It's that in that moment, because the energy is much more strong, because they have given permission. When you give any reader permission to read you, you surrender at a higher level. And I can't speak for everybody's work, but a few years ago I said, Dear Spirit, you know, I don't want to do people who just want a 1-800-WAN and want me to tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because there are people who just tell me what I want to hear because I don't really want to hear what Spirit has to say, because I don't want to deal with it, you know.
Yeah, what's really funny is a while back I got a reading from you and through Mary Ellen, and
hope it was good.
You definitely didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm so afraid somebody's going to call me the butt-kicking psychic someday.
Oh, that's so funny, because you know what? I can honestly say that you were right.
Thank you.
Go ahead. And then the validation, there was someone else that validated what you came through with. So it was interesting.
Because backup's always good. But a few years ago when I had that, because I really felt that was not facilitating healing in my clients, because they already know what's wrong, you know, and they just want to wham.
Yeah.
That's not moving them forward.
Right.
A lot of readers that will do that. They will take your money, tell you what you want to hear, and kind of keep you in that constant inertia, because that's where you are at that time. And it's fine, because, you know, sometimes that's where we are. But I tend now to get people who are really maybe stuck, blocked, but they're really ready to move on their spiritual path, and they just need a little push. And so, yeah, I guess I sometimes give the cosmic 2x4, but I try and wrap it in velvet.
Oh, that's awesome. You have time for one more question?
Sure.
My question is, you know, I pretty much have been studying a lot of the different messages from different channelers and mediums, and there's the communication that's coming through that the Earth and Gaia are starting to increase. She's starting to increase her vibration. She's going through a cleansing, and the Earth is going to go into what would be called the fifth dimension. And she's no longer going to absorb a lot of the negativity. She's releasing it. And that's causing some stress in the weather and in the world, and this kind of process of movement into a higher vibration is affecting people at a vibratory level. And so I wanted to get from you, if you're feeling that and you're seeing that with people, that some people that are resistant to moving in and on are starting to feel that tension and it manifesting in illnesses.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with a lot of that. But I think, truthfully, we are already and actually hit, like I would say, August of last year. We are in the fifth dimension now. We are not, we're not going into it. We're already, a lot of us are already there, and I would say the world is there, the physical earth. And I think that's one reason. In about August of 2005, I must have had 17 phone calls in a 2-week period or more from other readers, all saying, "What's up with the energy shift?
We can't look in
like we
used to." Yeah.
All having nausea symptoms, dizziness, almost vertigo. I mean, I don't know. And I have to tell you, they all have the same thing going on about, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!" Just before Katrina hit, it was all similar symptoms. And before the Tsunami and the other place too. So there is this shift. And I also think that everybody's starting to feel it because, what I call straight people, people who are not into metaphysics, they're questioning, they're asking questions, they're feeling like uneasy and uncomfortable, and going unfortunately into fear because they don't even know that we're going to be fine. They don't know that this is part of an energy shift. They're just, they think they're losing it. You know, they're getting, taking on illnesses and stuff because of fear.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And thank God most metaphysical people are not going into fear, but they're questioning. I think there's a lot of people right now going into the fear, they thinking, you know, Mother Earth has gone berserk and, you know, we can't get off planet. I do not feel from my work that going on. But I do feel that we have a responsibility to say, okay, this energy is shifting. Am I going to shift with it? Am I going to choose to perhaps ground to the divine little finger of God? Or am I going to try and ground to Earth and be shook up with Earth just like everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, and I think so we have to look at there's more metaphysical, spiritual stuff on TV and movies and everything. Gosh, this Da Vinci Code, don't you think that's shaking up the powers that be?
Oh, I know. That's so funny. That's because that's definitely making people rethink
their paradigm. Oh, my God. Ancient religions are, like, having frantic panic, and the truth is, they should be looking at it. It's making people go back to the church, do research, be amazed, and question. I think it's absolutely a big blessing. I mean, Harry Potter and the Da Vinci Code, all these things, thank goodness, are making people look at the wonderful magic in the world and also bringing attention to different forms of religion. I think it's all good. It makes us question.
Yeah, and, you know, as a validation for that, I think it makes people take ownership over their own spirituality.
Absolutely. I think it's a time where we're really going into getting to what is, I mean, you know, since time began, we've asked, you know, is there life after death? What is life about anyway? If you can figure out what life is about, much less death, you got one on me.
Well,
you know,
that's
it's
my
amazing
problem.
Every day. You know, so I think Einstein, or someone said, you know, I don't find it any more amazing to be born the first time to be born again and again. So, you know, all these things, you know, everything's a miracle to me. I think just being every moment is a miracle. So I think we are evolving into beings who are questioning, and as we expand our mind and our understanding, we grow, and the world grows, and the universe grows.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you so much for calling in.
I really appreciate your connection, by the way, with the angels, because, you know, I can definitely validate that you were spot on. And, you know, I think it's interesting because the angels and Michael is involved in the grid shift and, you know, Zadkiel is involved with the transformation. So you're right at the fulcrum of what's going on and being able to tap into all that and kind of get firsthand what they think of it all.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye. You know, I do believe that we all are connected to angels, guides, and masters, so don't think that I'm the only one. Anybody can dial their number. You just have to take the time and the patience to do that. So thank you so much for calling in and asking those questions. And I do think that some of the illnesses or some of the things we're feeling energetically are these earth shifts. You cannot have the earth have, you know, floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes without it shifting our environment, and our environment affects us. So certainly we're feeling all this. You know, that's why they've been
another caller?
Absolutely. Okay. That's why. Great, thank you, Don. That's why we're also worried about the greenhouse effect. You know, because we got to think about our air. You know. Hello.
Hi, Atrius. This is Denise.
Hello, Denise.
Hi. I had a couple of readings from you, and I got a hold of Mary Ellen this morning and emailed her, and she forwarded something to you, but I was thinking about some of the things that you've told me in my last reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I just live by your words all the time. They're just really good sounding boards. And the question that I have is, I guess it's not really has to do with healing. You told me about, it's about relationships, and you told me that I would have like a salad and then my main course. In meaning in my relationship, that my relationship, the main course would be the permanent relationship.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you if this certain person was that main course.
You know what? If you email me, I'll answer it because I'd rather not answer it on the air because it's going to take me a little while.
Okay, I already
did. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But I'll answer a little bit about the salad in the main course. that sometimes too, when we're talking relationships and we're we're all looking for that soulmate. Well, guys, I hate to tell you, there's soul groups, and we have many to pick through. So we have options here, and sometimes we have a salad before dinner or soup, And it is a level of healing, because part of this experience for you is to feel safe and to
and
feel
that's what you told me. That's why
nurtured.
You said you needed the salad, because it was the healing part.
Right.
And would make me ready for my main course.
Right. And it makes you deal with some things that are in your emotional garage. So that you take some of that out, so that when you do meet your dinner course, you have your dinner course come, you'll be ready for the steak, and the whole trimmings. You'll be comfortable with that, and your buttons won't get pushed. So sometimes we have to go through little relationships to be ready for trust again or for healing again. And so, that's a blessing, and that person, spiritually agreed to show up and to help you, and it's a blessing for that person too. So thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thanks,
Andrew. Bye-bye. Yeah, that layer effect sometimes is in not just the healing of our physical beingness, but our emotional, which is often relationships. It's true because we keep living. We keep adding to our pile. So, like, you might have healed a relationship in your 20s and gone along, done some things, and got in another relationship because there was a little bit that you didn't take off your cosmic plate. So you may repeat another relationship. Haven't you ever had a friend? It would never be us, of course. But we've all had friends where they seem to pick the same broken guy. They have the same addictions or the same kind of, brokenness. I mean, they're absolutely fixer-uppers, and it can be certainly a man picking a woman. But we look at them and they go, like, why can't they see it? All their friends know. Why do they pick the same guy with the same kind of patterns? And it's really because they're so busy picking somebody else to fix up. That way they're busy fixing them, and they don't have to look in their own selves, their own what's broken within them. And so that's why addictive relationships, it takes a long time sometimes to overcome, because you're trying to fix them instead of fixing you. So all of these are levels of healing and repair we do on ourselves. We have seen someone repeat patterns, sometimes even of anger and abuse, thinking they have beat the pattern, and yet they haven't beaten it. In addictions, in particular drugs and alcohol sometimes, they'll beat the addiction, but they don't beat the verbal abuse or the things that come along with that. And so we are always working in progress, ever evolving and growing. We come in with baggage sometimes, and we learn from that, and we learn from our parents, our environment, our society, even culturally. Oprah the other day had the Queen of Jordan, and unfortunately I can't remember her name, I apologize, and I loved how she was teaching in her country. A country, most countries in the Middle East, women have not always been first-class citizens. Just as we were not for many, many years in the United States, we didn't have the right to vote. We really didn't have a lot of rights, but we do now, because women became strong and started the suffragette movement and healed society. And so she is healing her country and bringing education to women, because she believes as we change the mind of women, they change the mind of their children, and so that country will evolve. And I was so amazingly proud of that experience to see that on Oprah, and I applaud her for that, because really, often, it is what our society teaches us, our customs even, our teachers, our school systems, our extended family, our friends. I mean, in our society today, look how many kids are so worried by 7 and 8 years old, oh my God, about peer pressure. When I was 7 and 8, I wasn't thinking about what everybody was thinking of me. I was too innocent, I guess. I wore what I wore. I did what I did. And I had an individuality. I didn't have to worry. Like, by 7, 8, they're like, if they don't have the right shoes and this and this and this. And that is created by our society. It's created and learned. We learn from TV, radios, computers, movies, from radio shows, like I'm doing right this minute, and from books. We all have these incredible ways of starting to heal whatever is going on in our physical and mental and emotional being. These are all tools. So metaphysical healing, you know, Reiki, hands-on healing. Barbara Brennan wrote Healing Hands of Light, incredible book about, I love this book, Hands of Healing, A Guide to Healing Through the Human Auric Field. It talks about our energy field and what gets stuck in our energy field. It talks about how we create things, how we can walk in a room and be affected by the energy in the room, and how we can change that, how we can use, you know, sometimes I think people forget to clean their own energetic field. I'm very conscious of it because of the work I do, but I know when I walk into, for example, hospitals or boardrooms, oh, my God, you walk into a corporate boardroom, and the energy in there is like electricity, and it's so stressful because these people are under such humongous stress from their jobs of, you know, trying to make the, you know, $2.3 million for the company or whatever it is. And they never clean their fields. They never clean those rooms. They never energetically shake it out. And so it's like you feel like you're walking on a tightrope all the time. So I love going in and absolutely cleaning the energy. And people will just get like, oh, I'm so mellow. People always are talking about when they come in my house and sit down in my chairs and they go, I just like to come here because I could just go to sleep in this chair. And I go, uh-oh. And I think it's because I just try and keep it so, the air energy so clean that it just allows people to kind of take downtime and become calm. It's like the energy just kind of takes out all the junk or takes out the nervousness and the woulda, shoulda, coulda, have to of their auric field, and they just kind of, auric gets fluffed and they just relax. So, but these are things we can do ourselves. You know, we should take a moment when we're driving home in our car, because driving is a form of meditation, to take and release the negative energy. You're in motion, so the actual motion of the car kind of like can clean your auric field. And see, I choose to take a few minutes just to take the clutter out of my auric field. So by the time I hit the door and I have to deal with my dog, my children, my, you know, husband, my cat, whatever it is, I'm not going there with the junk that I've collected from the day. But being spiritual, being metaphysical, it's a lot of work. It is. We have to be conscious in every moment what we're going to choose to do to ourselves or not do to ourselves. And sometimes it's as simple as asking, what's going on with me? Where am I, you know, where am I out of sync here? Is it energetically I'm out of sync? Am I emotionally out of sync? Am I manifesting this for a different reason? For example, when Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, which is the person who handles my website, please remember to go and check our website, which is www.angelscribe.com, manifested cancer. I was so upset because I thought, here it is, my best friend in the whole world, and I didn't see it coming. Why didn't I, as a medical, and as a intuit for energy field and a, you know, intuit and things, why didn't the angels tell me? Why didn't I catch that? I was so upset. I was distraught, actually, really beating myself up. And then the angel started talking and saying, but because it wasn't your job, that actually this was part of something she had chosen to take on her plate because she would save hundreds of lives and change people because of the way she chose to handle the experience. She chose to have surgery. She chose not to have chemo. She chose to do it totally naturally, met hundreds of thousands of people, really, in this journey of hers, and changed a lot of people's lives. And so sometimes, you know, it's a destiny. Sometimes there are things I believe we have decided on the other side, and it has nothing to do with good or bad, it just is. And it's something that we've chosen to use as a teaching tool for others around us and ourselves. And everybody gets touched. I think when someone becomes ill, We choose. We choose to be kind. We choose to make them chicken soup. We choose to, you know, check on them. If you ever watch a mother with a child who's sick, most mothers, I won't say all mothers, certainly there are mothers that are not good at being mothers, but most mothers, you know, just the human touch is very healing. You know, the first thing I can remember, one of the most wonderful feelings for me in my life was just having my mother's hand on my forehead. And I'm sure that energetically, it had healing power. There was something that was so soothing and so calming and so amazing when she would just gently put her hand on my forehead. And so instinctively we do certain things spiritually, energetically, that are healing. What's the first thing you do when you pick up a baby? You start rocking. You start giving that motion. And that motion actually starts to clear the energetic auric field, that rocking motion. So, and it moves. It makes the energy flow. It also makes the lymph system flow. So all of these things that we intuitively just do, we don't even think about, are healing process. Praying for someone is healing. Incredible studies about certain groups that have been prayed for and other groups that have not been prayed for, same illnesses. They have less bleeding, less surgery time, less downtime, amazing things. So prayer is certainly a major form of healing. But actually, we do healing in every moment of the day. When we pray for someone, when we smile at someone, that can be healing for someone who perhaps doesn't see a lot of people. Hugging, I think hugging a person is very healing because it is a show of affection. It's a show of energy, and it's an energy exchange because your auric field is embracing that person. We feel that vibrational change when someone acknowledges us, even uses our name and smiles at us and acknowledges us that, you know, oh, how are you? Are you okay? Don and I were just talking about this, the station manager. Instinctively we ask how somebody is. Or we show a courtesy, but I really think it's more than that. We almost always, when we greet someone, we either hug them or extend our hand, which is an exchange of energy. All of that is a form of healing and reaching out in some way. So when we start looking at the layers and that are our personal layers and the layers on people around us, I think it's very, as a healer, if you're a healer, whether you're a massage therapist, Reiki master, Qigong, I mean, there's some acupuncture, chiropractor, I could go on forever, doctor, nurses, any of these healing forms. When you start looking at healing and asking, just simply asking, Dear Spirit, show me how can I help this person? Sometimes the most healing thing is just to hold a hand. Having done hospital and hospice work for many years, sometimes it's what you don't say. Sometimes it's your presence of being there and listening. That's why I think therapists, psychotherapists, and all kind of forms of therapists that listen and counselors, sometimes it's what we don't say. Sometimes it really is truly listening to someone, letting them express themselves. Sometimes it's just looking at someone in their eyes unconditionally and being in their presence. Healing is so many things. It's not just one thing. And the whole body-mind movement, which I really have to give a lot of credit to Deepak Chopra, I really believe he was on the cutting edge of that movement, really is changing lives. And we actually here in Washington State are so fortunate to have Bass Jour College, which is a naturopathic college, which is now teaming with other hospitals in the area and offering many, many, many kinds of healing. We are so lucky that the trauma hospital, Harborview here in Seattle, is now offering things like hypnosis to patients who come in with big, major trauma. So they are really starting to embrace this body-mind, this other avenues of healing and giving options to people. So we see that in so many aspects now of mainstream healing, it's the embracing many, many worlds. And I think it's part of the conscious shift that we were talking about earlier, that we are shifting not just in the body, but in the in the physical world, but in how we perceive things. We are seeing that there is a totality to everything, and how does that totality interact with us? So the whole, you know, being in the fifth dimension, I do think we're in a dimension now where it's not just the four dimensions, and we are seeing the consciousness expand so amazingly. So I'm hoping that onion that we keep peeling, the layers and layers will get less. And as that happens, then I really think when we get to the inner core of a sweet onion, that we allow that onion then to breathe in the air and to let its fragrance go and to become the more and to know that out of that experience of peeling our onion and layers of illness or, you know, the effects. And I think illness has side effects, too. It has a domino effect. Because I know if you get, for example, fibromyalgia, which is often can happens because of sleep deprivation, muscles ache, you get depressed, all these domino effects start happening. So then you have to take away, okay, I have to get the person to sleep so that when they sleep, the body starts repairing, then they can work on the muscles, and then we can work on the mind, why the mind is racing, and then we can work on, you know, all the other aspects that come with this, the fatigue, the depression, and so forth and so on. So that whole thing becomes an absolutely incredible journey of healing. I hope that I've been able to answer a few of Jewel's questions as well as other people's questions on healing. And hopefully I will be able to, I'm researching, I have someone I hope to bring to the show in the future that will talk about Reiki. I would love to actually bring to the show many, many people who have different kinds of healing so that we can get more education, we can ask more questions and learn more and share together. I am so pleased with the emails that have been coming in and to ask questions, to make comments about the show. Please keep them coming. That's important. Please, start tuning in and go to the BBS Radio website to get the new number for call-ins. And next week, I'm so pleased to interview John Harry Turam. He is an amazing clairvoyant. He is in 101 Psychics book. He's just really an incredible author, and I so look forward to bringing him to the airwaves to let you share his incredible wealth of knowledge with you. So until next week, please keep your heart light on, shining bright to light your way and the ways for others. Please check our website at www.angelscribe.com. And thank you for letting me share this time of metaphysical straight talk from the heart. I hope today you got some tidbit of healing that you can take into your personal life and to illuminate your healing process as well as the healing process around you. I think one of the things I did not cover here that is important too, and that is the healing of grief. And so as I do my shows, having mediums, clairvoyants, other healers, I hope that we can learn to be healed as a nation, as a world, and as a universe in absolutely knowing that love is the key for everything because love dissolves anything unlike itself. And so till next week, lots and lots of angel blessings. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.